Dear Mom, day camp is great. I miss you a lot. By the time you get this letter, Bruce and Will are going to be in Florida. I'm going to be back on Saturday. I hope everything is all right. Tell Ryan I will be back soon. Matt and I are tenting together. Jason and Adam are in the tent next to ours. I am not going to be able to do my life-saving merit badge. Instead, I'm going to do archery and Indian lore. Our tents are the kind I thought it would be. On Sunday, I got stung by 4 bees. I twisted my ankle. I had someone steal $5 of my money, but I want to come home. I don't like it here. A lot of bad things have happened to me. That is why I want to come home. I miss you a lot. I cry every night. I hate being here. I'm going to do my best to stay. I need to come home. I think I'm coming down with a cold. Love, Barrett.
Time for another All About Nothing podcast, coming to you a day early. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll do a little backstory on what it was you just heard. So, I think I've talked about this before, but I was a Boy Scout for several years. I did Cub Scouts, I did Boy Scouts. And at the age of 12, with one of the Boy Scout troops, I had the opportunity to go to summer camp for the first time. And I can honestly say that I don't remember it being as bad as what was just described. So essentially what that was a recording of the very first letter that I ever sent home from summer camp. My mother finds it to be one of the most entertaining things that she has ever heard. So I figured I would have my son go ahead and read that and entertain her some more. My sister got a kick out of it. Everyone pretty much got a kick out of it. I don't find it to be quite as funny as, I guess as everyone else does, but, you know, I lived it, so, to me it's not as grand or as hilarious as other people find, but nonetheless, I decided to go ahead and put it into a digital frame that, would now be available for anyone to listen to. In fact, I actually have it, it's actually on my, it's saved in my webpage. But I don't have a link out there to it because, frankly, I'm not prepared for the backlash that will probably come from sharing that out to an infinite number of people. So for now, it's there. It's at the beginning of this particular podcast this week. Today is October the 10th, 2017. I'm going to go ahead and record a podcast tonight because probably won't get an opportunity to do it tomorrow. As the South Carolina State Fair is in town, and we're taking the whole family to the fair tomorrow. So this will really be the first opportunity for some of my children, my girls, my twin girls, to actually be able to get on rides and ride this time. And by rides, I mean the actual rides, not the stroller that we've always had to push them around in. So hopefully that will... that will go well tomorrow. I'll be honest, I don't actually plan on buying many tickets because I still have tickets from last year, and I'm praying that I get to use those because tickets are expensive. And this isn't to say anything has changed. The South Carolina State Fair is definitely one of those things where the price has been going up. I mean, steadily. It has been going up steadily for years. And one-day ride pass now is $25 to be able to ride all the rides that you want to. So, but I'm not much of a rider. I don't do the rides much anymore because if I eat at the state fair, then chances are I'm probably not going to want to ride any rides. I think when I first moved here to South Carolina, one of the very first things that that I did in October was the girl that I was seeing when I moved here, her name was Shannon. She took me to the fair, and that was our second date and our last date, because we went on one of these rides and it did this thing that it went up and it spun around and then it stopped and there was a lot of jerking, and I'll be honest, I got off the ride and I puked. I threw up into a trash can. She acted like she felt bad for me, but that was it. We didn't see each other again after that, which I fully completely understand. I don't blame her. No woman should ever see the guy that she's there on a date with throwing up into a trash can. And here's the funny thing. I feel like that trash can was not just my throw up trash can, because what it smelled like was definitely other people had thrown up into it. So I assume that that ride had caused many couples to have their last date. Lots to talk about this week, but I'm going to try and single it down into just a couple topics, because frankly, I only want to really do a half hour. And if I get way off topic, then chances are this will just keep going and going. And by the end of it, one of us is going to be annoyed, either me or you all. So this weekend, one of the things that sort of set me off and really irritated me, Vice President was invited to the Indianapolis Colts versus the 49ers game in Indianapolis. And he knew that there were going to be some players on the field that protested during the national anthem. And apparently this set him off. Initially, that's what was believed, was that he was, I guess, annoyed by the players. And so as soon as the national anthem was finished and they approached to start the kickoff, he left. And at first it was, I mean, everyone knew what had happened. But then it later turned out that he tweeted saying that basically he was in support of the president. The president said that if anybody took a knee during the national anthem, that he was to leave the game. And that's what he did. Now, I'm curious how much money it cost to fly the vice president from Washington, D.C. to Indianapolis to have a security detail. You know, because you have to have the Secret Service do forward checks to make sure that everything is safe for the vice president to go. And then you have to have secret security there working with local law enforcement to make sure that it's safe during his visit. And for all of that to take place, for him to do his visit, and then for him just to leave as soon as the game started because he was on order from the president to leave if any of the players took a knee. I'm curious as to how much wasted money was involved in his visit to this game and then to leave. Because that's the type of thing I feel like should be protested when it comes to this president, this vice president. Because, you know, Donald Trump ran on one of his slogans was drain the swamp. And he clearly has people in his administration that are swamp monsters, because they have no problem spending money. They have no problem spending taxpayer money. They seem to do it without any sort of scruples or qualms about it. I mean, they have absolutely no problem. He's got guys taking private chartered jets. The Secretary of Health and Human Services, Price, now he was forced out. He was forced to resign, or he was fired, or he quit. Whatever the administration wants to tell us, he did. It is no longer with the administration. After spending, I think they said somewhere around $1 million in private travel, using federal money. So, when I hear that. You know, when I'm reminded over and over that the president is there to drain the swamp and whatnot, was the intention to bring in a lot of these swamp monsters and then to make an example of them and then fire them? or was he actually talking about the established politicians that are there? Because the established politicians don't seem to have any problem with staying. They're not the ones that are gone. It's the people that are in the cabinet that seem to not be sticking around. So I'm confused, and I say that completely sarcastically. By the way, October, huh? October is National Sarcasm Month. How great is that? Who knew that there was a National Sarcasm Month? I didn't know this until now. And you know what's great is by my inflection, you don't know if I'm being sarcastic or not. So, great. Anyhow. So, yeah. So, I guess I don't understand how... I think one of the great things that confuses me about this current administration is the hypocrisy of some of the things that are said and how they look to what I assume would be an intelligent population, and how the administration, mostly through the press secretary, Sarah Sanders, how they manipulate the truth into however they can to make it benefit them. Because, you know, so this weekend, Bob Corker, senator, and the president seem to go back and forth. Now, Senator Bob Corker has announced that he will not be seeking re-election. So this will be his last term in office. I believe his seat is up next year. So the president immediately started tweeting out that, you know, that Bob Corker came and asked him personally to endorse his campaign. The president said no, and that was what made Corker decide he was not going to run again. And Corker's office, Senate office, came out immediately, not immediately, but within a day or so, I guess a few hours, came out and said that no, that they had not asked the president for an endorsement. And then basically made a sort of metaphor, saying that the White House was like a daycare that maybe wasn't getting enough attention from the administration or the people running the daycare. And then Corker's office actually came out and said that the president made a call, or the president's office made a call to Corker's office, asking that he change his mind, that he backpedal and say that yes, that he would seek re-election. I was watching the White House press briefing earlier today, and they asked her they asked Sarah Sanders the question, and she came back, or she said, you know, they asked, you know, is the president being honest about what he said, which was that they came and asked him for an endorsement, and that the president denied him that endorsement. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, yes. That was as much as she answered, and then moved on to the next question, which I am not one of those people that has a, you know, like a finger on the pulse. So I can't tell that she's lying or whether she even knows the answer, but I am observant of human behavior. And when you answer a question and move on as quickly as she did today, actually the way she did most of the answers for almost all of the questions that were asked, there is a level of insecurity in the way that she answers questions now. And it's mostly in her face and in her eyes. And look, I don't want to brag. I'm a fairly good poker player. I can pick up on people's tells, and I can read people's faces, and I can tell when I can tell when he's lying to me just by the face he's making. You know, so I've not seen anything about Sarah Huckabee Sanders or how they watch, you know, if there are any experts that are doing any sort of watching of her, and doing an analysis of her ability to tell the truth and things like that. But how quickly she moves on from a question, or how quickly she gets angry about some of these questions, you can tell that there is a level of insecurity. And usually when there's a level of insecurity, it generally means that there is dishonesty in the answer. And it's uncomfortable to watch, because I can tell what's going on, and I feel certain that almost every one of those reporters in the room can probably tell what's going on as well. But one of the tricks that this administration has learned and how she handles the press is that if she answers a question that she didn't want to answer and she gives them an answer that definitely requires a follow-up, she just moves on to the next reporter, and she always uses the excuse that we have a time constraint, we have to move on, we have to go quickly. The hypocrisy of the whole thing is the fact that this would not fly under other administrations, but the press corps at the White House has been so whipped into place by Sean Spicer and now Sarah Huckabee Sanders, it is nearly impossible for them to be able to push back without the cupcakes or the snowflakes at the White House basically screaming, you know, you guys are always after us. You're always just looking for a story. You're looking to try and pin us on one of these stories. And now they seem to have made this decision that regardless of the truth, they're not going to participate in it anymore. So what we have are half answers. And most of the time, those half answers aren't even truths. And if you have any ability to read people, you can tell they're not telling the truth. Another one of the things last week that was incredibly uncomfortable, and some of you may have watched it, and I'd play a clip of it for you, but I don't have it in front of me. But so last week, the president had several of the armed forces people, whether they were generals or whatnot. I did not recognize any of the people that were standing with him, but during a photo op with the press, the president said something to the effect of, you know, hey, look here, what's going on? This might be the calm before the storm. And when one of the press asked, said, what storm, Mr. President? And he said, the calm before the storm. And you know what's funny is I don't want to do an impression of the president because I hear so many people do an impression and it's their impressions are better than mine could possibly be. But I feel like whenever I do anything or whenever I repeat anything the president says, I always do the hand gestures. I mean, even right now, I'm doing the hand gestures. I don't know why. You see him do it and now I'm doing it and I can't stop. Anyway. But what he said was that, you know, this is the calm before the storm. I got to be honest, Mr. President, this is the storm. And literally, we are still cleaning up from the past three storms. Why would you choose at that time to be so insensitive to act as though using the storm or the words, the calm before the storm, what storm, what's coming? You know, we know that he's going to make a decision about Iran this week. And I'll get into that in a second, but, you know, are we talking about North Korea? Are we talking about Iran? Are we talking about NAFTA? What is it exactly that is the call? What is the storm that's coming? And when he ends it, all he says is, you'll find out. Why do we need a cliffhanger right there? For the life of me, I don't understand. It's not, he is not a television president. He is not a late night TV host. He's not trying to. There's no reason for the president to think that if he gives us cliffhangers that we'll tune in next week. We're always tuned in. We have no choice now. I mean, I think that regardless of whether you voted for him or you didn't, we're all pretty much invested in this as Americans because it could go very, very badly. And if it goes badly, it's because of him. So to leave it with a cliffhanger is just insane. I don't understand what it is that he's trying to do by saying things like that. I want to believe it's not for ratings, but I feel like he thinks that every time he's on television, he's drawing more ratings, that he's driving up his viewership. And that's not the way the presidency works. The presidency has while we recognize that there is a sense of popularity behind being president, that should not be what drives your policy. That should not be what makes your presidency is your popularity. You should be a popular president because you're working hard to do the right things to make the country progress. And it seems like he's more concerned about the popularity of being president, regardless of what his administration's doing. it's really uncomfortable. Mention the Iran deal coming up. And this is something that I recognize the reason behind it. And all it is, it's just because President Obama was able to get a nuclear disarmament agreement with Iran. Granted, it cost us billions of dollars, but we've already paid it. So Iran was given a sum of money to stop their nuclear desires, to stop them from wanting, or not stop them from wanting, but to stop them from creating a nuclear weapon, to stop them from continuing researching. And every 90 days, our Congress revisits that particular treaty and goes over what Iran is doing to stay in bounds and what we are doing to try and make sure we keep them in bounds. Here's the thing. So the president is going to make a decision this week, and it may still be this week, but he's going to make a decision on whether or not we are going to stay in this Iran deal. The problem that I have with that is that if you go and you look it up, we've already paid, okay? There is nothing else for us to do inside of this deal except basically just administer it and watch it and make sure that Iran continues to not research developing nuclear arms, and that it's just basically keeping them in check at this point. And so far, they've stayed. They've stayed in bounds. They have not maneuvered out. They have not given us any reason to think that they are not doing as they said they would on their end. But the president's going to make a decision on whether or not he wants to back out. And if we back out, one, the money's already gone. But secondly, if we back out, that basically is telling Iran, hey, free game. Go ahead. Not only did we give you money, but you can go ahead and continue to research it. Hey, why don't you go ahead and use the money we gave you to research building nuclear arms? In fact, you know what you could do is take that money and purchase nuclear arms from a rogue state, like, say, a North Korea, maybe. The whole idea is just asinine. Why would we walk away from the treaty that our end of it's already been taken care of and Iran is fulfilling their end? It doesn't make sense, except if you look at it as this is something Obama did. Trump just wants to back out because it was an Obama, it was something that Obama completed. It was something credited to Obama. So screw it. Let's just back out. I mean, you can look at the Paris Accord. You can say, why would we back out of the Paris Accord? It literally, it was completely optional. And it was, even if he claimed that it was bad for business, he claimed that it was bad for jobs in the United States. That is asinine. Whose jobs is it harming to be a part of the Paris Treaty Accord or the Paris Accord? I mean, it literally hurt no one. We were under no obligations to do anything except that we said, yes, we would, on our side or on our country, on this land, we would look at some way of attempting to bring down the amount of CO emissions. We would try and work with the rest of the world to try and come up with a way to decrease our emissions so that possibly we could stop the temperature from continuing to rise. And the president announced that we were going to back out of it. Literally, there was nothing holding us to anything. We had not signed an agreement saying that we were going to fire everybody that burned coal, or there was nothing like that. It was completely optional, and yet this president, because Obama signed it, wants to take it out. It's ridiculous. You know what they need to do is they need to tell Trump and convince him that President Obama was the one that created the Second Amendment. Because I can guarantee you within 24 to 48 hours, President Trump would be signing an executive order on some sort of a weapons ban or a mandatory background check. I can promise you that if he were to really think that Obama had something to do with the creation of the Second Amendment, that Trump would be all over that. He would be all over that. He would be fighting to end the Second Amendment. I can guarantee it. If Trump thought that Obama had anything to do with slavery, that Trump would be renouncing slavery. If Trump thought that Obama was a white supremacist, I can guarantee you that Trump would come out tomorrow with 930 tweets saying that white supremacists are bad and that Nazis need to get out of our country. You know, if he was to come out and say that Obama wanted to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, President Trump would be all in favor. If Obama hated Medicare and hated the idea of a single payer system for the entire country, Trump would sign an executive order removing the mandate that you be 65 years old in order to receive Medicare, and we would have a single payer system. I fully believe if we could convince Trump of these untruths that we could have all of these things that would improve our country. I honestly believe it because I feel like Trump is a schmuck. I feel like he is exactly what they say Rex Tillerson said he is. Trump is a fucking moron. I absolutely believe it. Because that is the only thing that seems to drive him right now, is this idea that I can overturn everything that Obama did, regardless of how badly it screws over my base. If I overturn what Trump, what Obama did during his presidency, it will fire up my base, which, by the way, Trump's base is only about 7% of the country. Trump's base, literally, the people that support Trump unequivocally don't care what it is that he does during his administration. They support him absolutely, without question. Makes up only about 7% of the country. 7%. How did this man get elected? Oh, I know how he got elected, because the schmuck on the other side was Hillary Clinton. But Trump literally could set his hair on fire, and his base would all set their hair on fire. If he came out and he said, let's do it, they'd all do it. I have no doubt that would be the case. Regardless, here we are. Trump is our president. So before we wrap it up, and I did not get to everything that I wanted to get to because, you know, me. I did want to go over a few things that Trump did promise during his presidency that has not yet come to fruition, or has completely stalled out, or there is literally no plan for it whatsoever. So one of the promises that he made during his campaign was that he was going to move the U.S. Embassy in Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. I'll be honest with you, I don't know why. They're both in Israel. I don't see the point. Why do we need to move the American Embassy to Jerusalem? He says it's because he wants to move the embassy to the eternal capital of the Jewish people. For the life of me, it does not make sense. I don't know what it would be for, but as of October 9th yesterday, that is still stalled. There is no plans right now, or there's no signaling by the Trump campaign or the Trump administration that they are moving forward with this. Another one was that they wanted to cut taxes for everyone. One of the complaints I keep hearing about is that the United States is the highest taxed, according to Trump. What he says is the United States is the highest taxed country on the planet. That isn't true. It's not even remotely true. What his administration says, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, to the press corps, is that when he says that, he actually means that the United States has the highest corporate taxes on the planet. And that is true, that the United States does have the highest corporate taxes on the planet. The problem with his statement is that for his base, who seem to be the 7% of the dumb, they believe, regardless of whether corporate or people, that we are all the highest taxed people on the planet. And it's just not true. So In the press briefings, they ask these questions to try and say, hey, you know, can we get clarification? And so what Sarah Huckabee Sanders does is she stands up there and she says, yeah, obviously, when the president says we're the highest taxed country in the planet, he means the highest corporate taxed country on the planet. And I'm going to be honest, why do I care what the corporations are being taxed at? Why, I mean, as far as, you know, them being taxed too high, why would I care about that? I'm not a corporation, and corporations aren't people. So why is it relevant essentially, I think what it was is the president said, we're the highest taxed country or people on the planet. And it was a mistake and a lie. He gets caught in it. So they backfill and they throw out basically just information on top of it and say, well, obviously that's what he meant. No, he didn't. He didn't mean that. He meant exactly what he said, which was that the United States is the most taxed country on the planet. And he wanted the citizens, he wanted his base, and he wanted anybody else that might vote for him to think that he cares about how much they're being taxed. And he doesn't. Come on. Let's be honest. He does not care how much you and me and Joe Blow and Stephanie Miller and Tanya Harding, he does not care how much these people are being taxed. All he cares about is how much the corporations are being taxed. That's what he wants to reduce, is corporate taxes. So anyone that has this idea that he's looking out for them, you wake up, get woke, something. Another one of his campaign promises was that he was, of course, going to repeal Obamacare. And obviously that has stalled out. I'll explain my theory on why. And even though they keep bringing it up for a vote, I fully believe that the Senate does not believe, the Senate has absolutely no interest in repealing Obamacare. These senators ran on a campaign promise, Republicans, saying that they would repeal Obamacare. And they only say it because that's what their base wants to hear. First of all, they're idiots, because I guarantee you most of their base has in some form, not most of them, but a lot of them have the Affordable Care Act. And for them to want to remove their own insurance is just asinine. Absolutely asinine. So my theory is that the Senate knows that a lot of their supporters have the Affordable Care Act. They don't want to take away medical coverage from them. They don't actually want to take away Medicare from the states. They don't want to reduce the amount of spending on Medicare and Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act, because they know it is legitimately taking care of people. And as long as insurance companies are being held in check, it works. Sort of. I don't like the mandates. I don't like the mandate that you have to have insurance. I don't like the mandate that apparently now, I feel like companies of certain sizes, smaller really, have the right to work with insurance companies. So if you have insurance and the Affordable Care Act doesn't really fit for you, then you get you can still have your regular insurance that you're, you know, paid through by your company. But it's frustrating that the Senate and the president keep pushing this idea that they're going to repeal the Affordable Care Act. And I don't believe that any of them actually has the intention of doing that, because it will harm people that vote for them. You know, I saw an interview where a guy was being asked about the Affordable Care Act, but he was being asked it in the way of Obamacare. So he's being asked about Obamacare and he's saying, no, we need to get rid of this Obamacare. And he says, but you know, he says, well, what sort of insurance do you have? And he looked right dead in the eye and said, well, I got the Affordable Care Act. I've had it since it came out back in 2012. And the reporter looked at him and he said, the Affordable Care Act. He said, yeah. He goes, is that different from Obamacare? He goes, yep, we don't need that Obamacare. We do not need Obamacare. Obamacare is driving this country into the dirt. And I mean, at that point, what do you do? If I was a reporter and I asked that question and that was the answer I got, I don't know that I could look at the guy with a straight face and be like, oh, okay, well, you know, moving on. There's so much misinformation and people don't recognize, you know, so much of what is actually involved in their daily lives, that they're missing the fact that they have the Affordable Care Act, that they're being taken care of by the Affordable Care Act. And yet, you know, it is amazing to me that people are too dumb to vote. I feel like some people are just too dumb to vote, and they there should be a test. It's just unbelievable. Another one was President Obama. I apologize. President Trump made a campaign promise saying that he was going to place a lifetime ban on foreign lobbyists raising money for American elections. This is kind of like one of those gotchas because we already, if you believe anything that's been reported so far about Russia and such, clearly Russia had some sort of involvement in our election. Now, whether their intent was to get Trump elected or their intent was to get Hillary Clinton elected, whatever it was, you know, I don't know if it was one or the other. I definitely believe like their intent was to create havoc. And it appears that that's what it's done. So mission accomplished, Russia. But there's not been any action from Donald Trump's promise to regulate any foreign lobbying in the elections. I mean, literally none. There was also a campaign promise that we were going to build a safe zone for the Syrian refugees. Essentially, there would be an area that would they would take big pieces of land in Syria and have plenty of land. They'd build zones where these people could live. He said he has a heart, that he cares about people, and that he wants to make sure that these Syrian people are safe. Well, there is absolutely no indication that he's trying to do any of that. Another thing he wanted to do was change the vaccination schedule for children. He says he's totally in favor of vaccinations, but that he wants smaller doses over longer periods of time. And when Price was still in the Home Health and Human Services secretary, there was no plan for that. I mean, literally none. And honestly, I don't know what they would change because, I mean, even with my kids, I feel like there's a schedule. I mean, I know when they go in for their their 36-month checkup that they're going to have certain vaccinations they're going to get. So I don't get it. I'm just going to do this last one. So one of the campaign promises, and this is going to be, again, the last one, was that Trump was going to make sure that they closed part of the internet where ISIS would not be able to use the internet. That was a campaign promise. He said, but apparently in wake of the London attack, Trump has doubled down on this promise, and yet we still have nothing actually done to make it impossible for ISIS to use the internet. I don't know how he would do that. I guess you could have the military install inhibitors. You could find every hard line that comes into anywhere that ISIS is, maybe. I don't know. It just seems like nonsense to me, but I don't know. But okay, so like I said, I said I was going to do a half hour, and I'm already over that. So I'm just going to go ahead and say, basically, if you voted for Trump, he made a lot of promises, and some of those promises may have been why you voted for him. But there's not been anything done. You're continuing to support a president who essentially lied to you. And it's not because he's not being allowed to do these things. It is because he made campaign promises for things. Look, when I was in elementary school and people would run for class president, or when I was in high school, I can always remember every single year there was always somebody who promised to have some sort of sweetened concoction drink come out of the water fountains. And it was the most absurd thing. And we all knew it was absurd. And I feel like Trump supporters probably knew that a lot of his campaign promises were absurd, and yet they were like, nope, he's still the guy for us. He's lying through his teeth right to us, but we're still going to go with it. So I feel like there needs to be some sort of check, and it's going to fall on the people to recognize you're dumb. I mean, I've got nothing else. I don't know how to convey it in any other way except foolish. We're foolish if we think that he's gonna do any of these campaign promises. The wall is not gonna get built. I don't care how many times he stands up there and he says that he's gonna put government in check, and that we are going to, he will not sign a bill on the debt ceiling if his wall is not included. And then he stands up there and says, we actually have the wall being built in a couple, three, four different locations that these test walls. I don't know where they're up. I don't know where they're going. I don't know where they're being built. So why should I put my faith in the president saying that he's doing these things or that these things are happening without any proof? I mean, you know, I don't trust any politicians, to be completely honest with you. I have a hard time trusting any politicians, but I especially have a hard time trusting the president when he says that he's doing these things or these things are happening when we all know that they're not. We can't believe that they are. They're not. They're not. Anyway, all right. Gonna go ahead and call it air. It is, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at Barrett Gruber. We will come back again next week. I will do another show, and we'll catch you up on some of the events and my opinions on some of the events, and we'll do it all right here. Thank you very much for listening. See you later.